on America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned. You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. It's primary day, finally, primary election day, or at least for most states it is. It's Super Tuesday. We're going to talk about that today. Super Tuesday, a couple quick points. Even though polls are still open in every state in America during this show, my live show, we're talking about the Supreme Court preserving elections for we the people. A few comments about that. Gemini, which is this just thing, this product of Google, this AI chatbot, Gemini. What they did in that, Google did, it should bring down Google, but it probably won't. It should end Google. The arrest of Blaze Media's Steve Baker, a reporter for Blaze Media, should alarm every single American. A lot of detail on that. Laken Riley murder, young woman murdered by an illegal alien who'd come to the attention of authorities many times, but he was loose and killed this beautiful young girl. And finally, if we get to it, this is a bunch of topics for this 1 hour show. Nikki's win in D.C. Nikki Haley finally won a primary in Washington, D.C. When you understand the details, it's a joke. But I'm going to start quickly on Super Tuesday. I want to say about, you know, I've worked on campaigns and volunteered, knocked on doors and given speeches. I mean, I've been really active in politics for years. And everybody has this feeling, before we all understood the scope and breadth of election fraud, everybody had the feeling, okay, the candidates put everything out there. They told the people who they are. They've knocked on doors. They've made phone calls. If they have the money for it, they've done billboards or commercials or whatever they've done. And then you get to a day like primary day. Today is Super Tuesday, so we have, I'm going to tell you in a minute, all the states that are voting today. But, you know, you have the feeling, okay, well, now the people have spoken. And I don't have any idea how the primaries around this country will come out. I mean, I read predictions, I've read polling, I may have some idea. But what I want to urge you to think about is, no matter how the primaries come out in your state, whether it's for your state rep or state senator or U.S. representative or U.S. senator, Americans, by an overwhelming majority, still want the America First agenda. It's really important to understand, except for the radical communists in this country, nobody wants anything the Biden administration is doing. We do not want, and the people do not want, the massive number of problems that the Biden administration is intentionally causing. Nobody wants this. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. No matter what happens in the outcome of the primaries, it will not change my faith in the American people and what they believe in, what they want for their country. They want a country with borders, that has border security. They want a country that retains its national sovereignty, that doesn't give sovereignty over to United Nations or any other organization such as the World Health Organization. They want a country rooted in freedom and free markets. They want control of their finances. They don't want central bank digital currency, which is government control of your money for the rest of your life. That's what that is. They don't want that. This, what we're watching happen to America over these last 3+ years, when he who occupies the White House has inflicted all sorts of radical left-wing policies on America, we're watching Americans' eyes open for many people for the first time to realize, oh, this is what the left would do if only they had power. So I want to take you, that's my one important takeaway, is America wants the America First agenda. Whether they do or don't like Trump, they do not like what is happening to this country. And I will remind you, as I do many, many times on this show, the things that are happening under the Biden administration, These are not fluky. They're not accidental. It's not like they meant to control the border, but they just chose the wrong people, chose the wrong policies. This is intentional abandonment of America's border. This is now, in fact, reports are coming in. Now news stories out about the Biden administration flying people into our country. No right to be here. Illegal aliens plopping them down around the country. We are watching an orchestrated invasion of our country by our own government. And it was not an elected government. This is the government that seized power in 2020 after the stolen election. They are not an elected government. They're an installed government. That's what we have right now. And that's why all these things are happening. And hopefully, we can overcome what election fraud may occur in these primaries, and the American people will get their voice back, get their voice back. Because, you know, the primary results will get us around to who's going to be in the fight on Republican and Democrat tickets in the fall. Obviously, President Trump is going to win, overwhelmingly win, the Republican presidential nomination. We'll get to that in a moment. But even if your candidate doesn't win, and even if your candidate loses in the primary and then the other side's candidate wins in the fall, the biggest goal, the most profound responsibility every conservative patriot in this country has is to stand up and speak up for America, for the ideas of America, for the founding ideas are in our Declaration, our Constitution. That is the patriot's goal and mission and promise to himself or herself, he should always hold on to. We don't surrender America, no matter who seems to win elections. As I started the first five by saying today, all of what I'm saying about the primaries, we used to have a sense, well, the primary's over, now so-and-so won. Because of the scope and breadth and depth of election fraud in this country, very few people have confidence about even announced winners. We watch elections and think, gee, I can't believe that. But these two things do happen. This ties into two things I want to mention about the show on Thursday. My guest on my Thursday show this week is Professor David Clements. He's an astoundingly wonderful expert on election integrity, election fraud. His newest film is out called We the People, and is basically talking about election fraud in this country. And he's a nationally renowned speaker, a brilliant guy. I'm bringing him to Texas for the show on Thursday, so do tune into the Thursday show. Wrap up the first five by saying this: never give up on America, no matter how the primaries come out, and never give up on the idea that we the people, we are the sovereign, we do actually have the right, if we insist on retaining it, we have the right for self-government, self-governance, and that means the right to demand fair elections, elections that we can rely on and trust to be true. And that, my very fine friends, is today's first five. I was going to tell you, though, by the way, on who's voting today, there are 15 states, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. Plus, there are American territories, American Samoa, also votes today. And out of all those states, by the way, only one has closed primaries. Alaska, the GOP is voting only. So we, even here in the great state of Texas, we have open primaries, which is a horrible mistake. We need to begin to have closed primaries, meaning we have to begin to register by party in Texas, and then we need to insist on primary voting day. You have to be a member of the Republican Party, or you can't vote in our primary, but that's another day. I urge you I'm really wishing I had a show tomorrow, but I do the show right now only Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we have on Thursday we'll talk a little bit about the primary outcomes, but no matter what the outcomes, never give up on America, never give up on fighting for this country, never throw your hands up and say, okay, forget it, my guy lost, I'm out of it. Every patriot has a job to defend our republic, every patriot, every day, including whatever happens after today. I'm actually very optimistic in Texas. We have an unprecedented number of primaries in Texas for Texas State House seats, which are normally, you know, we have people who've been there a long time and they're hardly ever challenged. We have a huge number of challenges to Texas, the Texas state representatives as well as county party chairs in this state, an unprecedented number of challenges to incumbents. So it's a big, big day in Texas and America. And if you're listening to this and you haven't voted, you still have time. Polls are open in all the states at this time, so please vote if you haven't. Now, that, my friends, is today's first five. Okay, so I want to hit this story today about the Supreme Court decision. You likely heard about it, and the gist of it was that President Trump's team appealed when the state of Colorado ruled that President Trump could not be on the ballot, could not be on the ballot for any of the voters in Colorado because they concluded on their own without any criminal conviction justifying it. Colorado concluded that President Trump was not eligible to be on the ballot in Colorado because of January 6th's alleged insurrection, and it was not an insurrection. So the Supreme Court, they ruled, the good news is the Supreme Court ruled unanimously and per curiam, which just means it wasn't one justice of the Supreme Court putting out his or her opinion and everyone joining. Per curiam means we're speaking on behalf of the whole court. So a 9-0 decision, which basically reversed a federal court and said that the important ruling was the Constitution makes Congress rather than the states responsible for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates. So Section 3 is part of the 14th Amendment, and, you know, the basic idea was you can't, you know, that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution was intended to prevent people who were actually insurrectionists, who committed insurrection against America, from then running for office. And so, you know, the Colorado and other states looking at this leaped over, you know, the factual question of why would you even say there was an insurrection on January 6th, because there wasn't. And the evidence comes out more and more that there wasn't, but just concluded we can keep them off the ballot. This was a really, really stellar case. The Supreme Court actually stood up and did the non-political thing, did the constitutional thing. It was unanimous in the sense 9-0 that they reversed Colorado, the appellate court, and said, you know, you can't take President Trump off the ballot. Period, can't take him off the ballot. And that was really good because this is, you know, is a number one, it was just a good decision on the merits of the Constitution. The federal Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, is trying to say on federal elections, you know, the federal government decides. They have the authority to do that, including determining whether or not the 14th Amendment, the third clause of the 14th Amendment that talks about insurrections, you know, should be invoked. And so the Constitution calls for that. The federal government is the only authority to have to do that. Secondly, it's a great decision because part of how the left in this country and for decades has gotten their way is never, ever convincing the majority of people to stand with them. The left in this country seizes and expands upon power by using, in this case, lawfare, meaning it's just an exercise in misusing our courts, in abusing the court system, and trying to get results that they want, policies or outcomes they want, forced through in the courts rather than ever letting the people decide, rather than using the process of elections. If these people on the left who think Trump is so bad and they don't, you know, they think because of January 6th he should be off the ballot, their course, their right action in America is to make that argument to the people. Is in every state where President Trump is running, which is every state, he's running for president on the Republican ballot, every state, is for these people who don't want him to win to make that argument to the American people. That is the point of elections. You have to make the point to the voters what's wrong with the other guy or what's right with our guy or whatever other arguments you want to make, policies, anything else. But instead, the left uses lawfare, and they do this. This is how we got the Roe versus Wade decision. This is how we have countless other decisions the American people would never have backed. But the left gets their way through forcing decisions in courts and getting liberal justices to go along with their agenda, completely circumventing the American people. Completely circumventing the American people. Third point on this decision, I was going to go into detail on why some of there were concurring opinions, even by Amy Coney Barrett. I may get to it another day. I'm going to skip going into the detail of that because the big point I wanted to make about this decision also is I actually think the Supreme Court may have averted major disruption in this country if the Supreme Court upheld the idea that a bunch of left-wing America haters, a bunch of left-wing Trump haters could, you know, fly around the country and convince courts in various liberal states to boot Trump off the ballot. People who support President Trump, voting Republicans in vast majority of numbers, these people would have been deprived of their right to self-government. That's the whole point of America, of having a constitution, of having we the people as the sovereign, having we the people with the right to vote for your president. What this leftist cabal, this leftist America-hating, Trump-hating, just anti-American cabal has been doing is trying to go around a course and saying, you don't need to have the people decide. They're too dumb to decide. The people can't be trusted to make the right decision. The people are too stupid to understand why Trump shouldn't be president. So we're just going to take him off the ballot. It is a slap across the face to every American voter, this effort by the left. So I am thrilled with the Supreme Court decision. And they didn't even have to get into the merits of was there an insurrection, wasn't there an insurrection. They didn't have to get to that, and they didn't, and they shouldn't. I think in this case, the question is just simply, can states do this because they want to? And that was the question the court answered. Now, I'll tell you how absolutely insane. First of all, this decision is about, not just about, Trump. It isn't just narrowly focused on his case. The decision is saying, the Supreme Court said, for future presidents, for anyone, you can't have, any cabal of people, any group of people pushing the opponent's candidate off of a state ballot, because that is for a federal seat, which is the presidency, a federal seat, because the states don't have the right to do that. It was a correct assertion of the concept of federalism. Great decision, and even though I don't agree with some of the things that were said and some of the concurring, but was the fundamental concept is for all time. And really, the idea that this could happen again in the future, as the left continues their slow-rolling communist takeover of America, this is a real boulder in the road to them. So much of a boulder, by the way, that U.S. Representative Jamie Raskin, I think he's from Maryland. Anyway, Jamie Raskin got himself all worked up over this decision. So he's trying to revive legislation. He's trying to essentially introduce legislation or reintroduce legislation in the U.S. Congress barring Trump from office based on the 14th Amendment. Because this is what the Supreme Court is saying is, states, you can't do this. Even the highest court in any state, you can't take a candidate off of a federal election. But if Congress decided they actually got together and passed, I think it was 2/3 they had to have, that'd be a different question. So Jamie Raskin is so hysterical trying to get Trump off the ballot. He's reintroducing this. And I have to believe, it's so inane. He has no reason in the world to believe that, that this could pass. There's no way Congress is going to pass this idiotic idea he has. But he's showing his left-wing radical creds to the Democrat voters in Maryland, saying, I tried to get him off the ballot. And again, I'll go back to one more point I make before we're going to turn and play a little bit about what Trump had to say. Trump made some really quite insightful remarks at Mar-a-Lago about this yesterday. He made about this decision. But part of what Jamie Raskin's, the conversation about what Jamie Raskin is doing that bears repeating today, it's really important to make yourself think through, why do Democrats so fear Trump? They have used mental manipulation, like a psychological operation against the American people, to stir up hatred and disdain and anger against him. And that's unfortunately been somewhat successful among ignorant people. They have gotten ignorant people who formerly used their brains to assess political things, just worked into a lather against President Trump, unjustifiably. With no basis in reality. It's an emotional hysteria people get into. But that's not why Jamie Raskin is trying to push his legislation. It's not because he really personally hates Trump. Leftists in this country understand that Trump is the only candidate who's run for president in this cycle and is the only outspoken candidate in this era who understands how radical and dangerous the left's agenda is and who will stop it. He will fight it. He will not let it go through, as many Republicans do. Sadly, many Republicans kind of roll over, kind of say, we'll speak up a little bit, but then we're going to let things go. Trump will not allow the left take down America. There's going to be a battle royale when Trump is reelected, because he's going to put a stop to many of the radical things the left is doing, which are not simply radical policies on, you know, border and elections and sovereignty and economy and culture and society and education. They're not just all these isolated silos of policies that the left is doing. Everything they're doing is very coordinated. It's a very coordinated, and every single policy, it all folds together into one ugly blob of anti-American leftism working in every avenue, every angle, every aspect of America, taking down America's culture, society, education, economy, belief in freedom, belief in our country. The left has had America, the idea, America the Great, in their crosshairs for decades. They're so close to taking down the belief in America on the part of the American people, and Trump is the biggest boulder in the road they have ever seen. And this is why Jamie Raskin and many leftists are hysterical over Trump. It's not because of mean tweets or anything about his personal life in the past. It's because they see him as the one who will stop this radical leftist takedown of America, this Marxist takeover of America. They see that Trump will stop it, and that's why they don't like him. Now, I sent Mr. Emilio, the wonderful producer here, I sent him a pretty lengthy clip. Trump talked for a long time at Mar-a-Lago, and I tried clipping some of it out. It may still be too long, so we'll see how much we can listen to. But he was responding to this decision by the Supreme Court, and he was also responding to the point. One point he makes I just love. I think it's near the end, so I'm not sure we'll get to it. But he makes the point, you know, Biden is controlling, or not really Biden, because Biden doesn't, you know, he's a mental diminished mental capacity. Whoever's really running things. Every attack on Trump, all of the civil and criminal litigation, it's all coordinated, it's all connected, it's all controlled from the top of the Democrat Party. This is the kind of stuff we Americans used to recognize when it happened in third world countries or in communist countries as just unacceptable, intolerable action by people in power using their power to turn the power of the state against their political enemies. And Trump is making that point. He's also making the point, you know what? If Biden wants to win and Biden thinks America is so great, why won't he debate Trump on policies? Debate on the policies. Who likes the border policy of the Trump administration better than the Biden administration? Who likes Trump's support of free markets versus Biden's open embrace of Marxism and socialism? Who likes Trump's sovereignty and the idea of America being self-governing, maintaining its sovereignty, versus the left's endless effort to surrender our sovereignty to international organizations? Debate on the policies. And again, back to my point earlier, the left never wins on their policies. They know if they try to sell their policies, they will lose. So they lie about their policies, they misrepresent, they hysterically react to the conservatives running against them, they mischaracterize the right. And Trump is saying, look, if Biden thinks things are so great, if he really thinks he's, you know, doing a great job, have a debate with me. But you have to understand, Biden knows, and the left knows, not just because of Biden's diminished mental capacity, but because leftist ideas do not sell in America if you actually run on them. So with that lengthy lead-in, I will quickly see, we'll see how long it goes. This was Trump at Mar-a-Lago talking about the Supreme Court decision.
Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll. New York Times came out yesterday with a very big poll for us. So they didn't like that, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do. And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president, and not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS, and I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world, two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make those. They were tough decisions. A president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions, or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post. You'll be president, it'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else, because who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done. I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump. President Biden, number one, stop weaponization. Fight your fight yourself. Don't use prosecutors and judges to go after your opponent, to try and damage your opponent so you can win an election. Our country is much bigger than that. The other thing I say to President Biden, close the borders now. This is not sustainable for our country. It's not sustainable for our cities. Our country is under siege. This is a violent thing that you've done. And many people are dying. Many, many people are dying. They die on the trip up. They die going through the border. And they die in our country. But many of the people coming up are from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums. Many are terrorists. You see it. Many, many are terrorists. And I believe the real number that we have right now is probably closer to 15 million people. And by the time the term ends, I believe the president's term ends, I believe you'll be at close to 20 million people. In this case, the polls show that I'm much more popular than I was before weaponization. It's been weaponized like it's never been. This is for third world countries. This isn't for us. Biden ought to drop all of these things. And frankly, he may do better if he does, because people would say, wow, that was very reasonable. Look, they're all the state, the city, and the federal. They're all coordinated. Fannie Willis's lover spent hours and hours at the White House, I guess with White House counsel and with DOJ, plotting out this plan. Nobody talks about that. They're all coordinated with the White House. It's weaponization. Never been done in this country. It's been done in third world countries, banana republics, never in this country. So I really believe what they should do is really go all the way, go out and stop all of this nonsense. They're nonsense cases, and everybody sees it. You just look at Atlanta. It's such an embarrassment to Georgia, what's happening there. But Jack Smith, I don't think, is any better. Letitia James is terrible. She campaigned on, I will get Trump, I will get Trump, and then it goes before a Trump-hating judge. I mean, the whole thing is a rigged deal, and the public understands it. I'm lucky that I'm able to explain it to the public, because if you weren't able to explain it, the public wouldn't know. They'd believe what they see. So I don't want to win this way. Look, I want to win based on my policies are better. We're going to cut taxes. We're going to get interest rates down. You're going to be able to buy homes again. I mean, you can't buy a home today. The interest rates are so high. I want to win on safe borders. I want to stop wars. I want to stop the war in Ukraine with Russia. I want to stop what's happening in Israel. Israel would have never been attacked if I were president. Ukraine would have never, ever been attacked if I was president. You wouldn't have had inflation. Inflation was caused by high energy prices. I had low energy prices. I would have kept them there very easily. And it probably maybe caused the war with Ukraine because Putin became rich all of a sudden. It went up so much, and I watched President Biden talking about Putin. Putin became very rich because at $100 a barrel, he's got so much money to fight a war. At $40 a barrel, he doesn't have the money to fight a war. But he wouldn't have done it anyway because I told him not to. So I just want to thank all of you for being here. I think it's a very big day for America. I think it's a very big day for liberty, and I think it's just a great day for this country.
You know what, I have to tell you, it's funny. People, I know when I first started listening to President Trump years ago, when he was just candidate Trump, you know, he has a manner of speaking. He as they say, goes off track. You know, he's on one topic and he thinks of something else. He always manages to come back to the point he was on. But, you know, his whole presentation at Mar-a-Lago seemed far more presidential. It just seemed really presidential, like very, very tuned in, very aware of what the left is doing, of how dangerous it is, of why they're doing it, of what his policies are, and very composed. You know, he did a really great delineation, breakdown of all the issues that he's been talking about. And, you know, basically making the argument and making the point to America, why is the left so afraid of letting him run? They're not, I mean, they say, well, he might try to become a dictator, which is just garbage. They know it. They just make up these crazy things to scare ignorant people, people who can't figure anything out, get duped by what the left does. But what Trump is doing at this time, especially given what's happening to America, especially watching this absolute takedown of America at the hands of the Marxist left, and you have a guy, Trump, who's going to stay in the fight. God bless that man. God bless how strong he was in that speech and many others. He's just not, he's not going to give in, not going to give up. And I truly think he is growing in popularity, even among Republicans who maybe didn't like him at the start, because they're looking for a leader and a fighter. They're looking for a leader and a fighter. So I thought it was a great speech, very Trump-esque in terms of just, you know, deviating here and there from what the point he was making, but getting around to making some very, very important point. So I want to share that with you. I do have a bunch of topics I'm going to try to run through in this. You know, I miss having the show 4 days a week. I should tell you, I miss having the show 4 days a week. I used to do it 4 days a week, and that didn't even seem like enough. And so right now it's only 2 days a week because I'm running a campaign. I'm running to become RNC committee woman for the state of Texas. Anyone listening, if you're interested in that campaign, what I stand for, why I'm running, you can go to debbiegforrnc.com. I think Emilio, the happy producer, can put it up. Yeah, the talk show website is americacanwetalk.org. The campaign website is Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E-G, the letter G, and then the digit four, rnc.com. debbiegforrnc.com. Check it out. Endorsements welcome from anywhere. Contributions, it's expensive to run this campaign. And I'm doing it because I love to join the RNC and be a voice for the conservative base of Texas. That's why I'm doing that. But I have less time to talk with you, so let me jump into my following. Four topics. One thing I want to hit very quickly, you may have all read about it, but Google created, they worked for years and years in this product. They created their AI chatbot. You know, it's a Google AI, and it's just this AI chatbot. They called it Gemini. They had to give a name to the program. But basically, it's a product that they are touting as just kind of cutting edge, artificial intelligence. It's a chatbot. You know, Gemini is the name they gave to it. And the concept of it is that they put together so much information, garnered so much detail, so much information, and you can go on Google and use Gemini, and you can do searches, and they will just bring you the truth on information. So very quickly after it was launched, people discovered some so patently absurd, DEI-driven, just racial, racialization of every topic on the planet Earth. And so Google got roundly criticized very early. I'll share just a few things. One person, they put in something asking to say, show us images of past popes, as in the leader of the Catholic Church, popes. Show us images of popes. So they came up with a woman, an Asian woman, a bunch of people who don't represent popes. Whatever you think about the Catholic Church, the images of which, I have family and friends are Catholic, I don't mean anything by that, but the images of the popes are perfectly available, at least the modern popes, and they all are white men. And this, which is fine, this is what the Catholic Church, this is historically accurate Catholic Church. But instead, when you ask Gemini, show me an image of a pope, they came up with a woman and people of various racial minorities who have nothing to do with the history of who the popes were in the Catholic Church. They also came up with, they had a Southeast Asian woman. When you asked it to show me images of the popes, the actual popes, a Southeast Asian woman and a black man, who has not been a black pope in the Catholic Church. They also asked for things like, they asked for an image of an NHL, National Hockey League player. Show us National Hockey League players. I mean, obviously, all the modern teams have pictures out there. You could find them. They came up with females who were obviously not members of the hockey teams. They asked for images of the founding fathers in 1789. Images of the founding fathers in 1789. That's what someone asked. So they asked. They came with images of black men, Native American individuals, and, featuring all sorts of diverse ethnicity and race. So it's, historically inaccurate and just an attempt to inflict racial assessment or racial just overarching, the more importance of depicting people as diverse in race, which wasn't true, than just telling the truth of the story. Who were the founding fathers in 1789? They are so driven by the racialization agenda, that they couldn't even speak accurately. Two other things was they asked for an image of George Washington, and what it came up with was a black man just dressed in a military uniform, which may have been George Washington era, and having white hair like George Washington, but it's a black man. But among the most amazing things was someone asked it, you can ask it questions about, ask information, ask what's right or wrong, what do you think about? So they asked, in fact, I think it was Elon Musk asked in this Gemini program, this AI program that Google produced, if you could save the entire world from a massive nuclear attack, if you had a massive nuclear attack that would wipe out millions of people, but in order to save the world from that massive attack, you would have to misgender Caitlyn Jenner, what would be the right answer? What do you think it said? Would anyone on the planet Earth give anything about, if you save the world, but the cost is you have to use the wrong pronoun for Caitlyn Jenner, and this Gemini AI chatbot couldn't give that answer. It's very complex. Misgendering is really, really bad, and we don't do that. And it could not give that answer. So the program became so embarrassingly foolish that Google had to, put out apologies and say, we have to do a little bit of looking at this. They got mocked, ridiculed to the point that they pulled back. But I just want to read you a couple of things. There was an interviewer talked to some people who worked at Google, because one point I want to make, when any company issues a new product, they don't come up with it in 24 hours or even a week or a month. It's years and years of working, running by a whole series of layers of people who are in charge in the company, in depth, having groups looking at it from various perspectives. It's a big thing for a company as massive as Google to put out a new thing, to put out Gemini, AI Gemini, And this Gemini passed all of those layers and years of tests and got released in the format it was. So people got to talking to people inside Google, and they're basically talking about, you know, they spoke to people working, and it was being described as a hellscape that is Google. They talked about people in the team were responsible for Gemini. They were warned about its over-diversification problem before the launch and the nebulous DEI architecture, separate from... Anyway, they got warned and warned, and the product just went through the way it was. They talked to managers who said they've had battles over hiring because they want to hire someone who's actually competent, and they're trying to push back on promotions or hires when their preferred candidate happened to be male and white, and they could barely get the company to allow them to hire or promote someone who was male and white. All this person doing interviews of people at Google said, every person I spoke with had a story about a promotion for reasons that other than merit. I mean, I could read pages and pages of these comments by people working at Google. So I'm getting at, it's not even every employee of Google who's just a lunatic leftist who is just obsessed with racialization of everything. Actually, there are smart people working there. They're engineers. There's smart people who thought Google was a job of a lifetime, but they are stuck in this just deadly culture of Google that is so determined to just implant and infuse race into everything, even actually trying to ask a factually accurate question like, could I see pictures of past popes? They're so obsessed with race, and when I say they're obsessed with race, they're obsessed with dividing America along the lines of race, of misrepresenting racial history, misrepresenting truth. That's where Google is. And so honestly, you know, my headline, I think I called this segment, you know, this should end Google. And you think about it, what Google's power is, it's something like 98% of all searches on the planet Earth. When you go to your computer, you don't say, let me research on the internet, what blah, blah, blah is. You say, let me Google that. Well, Google is giving you all the search results of everything that you ever put in, unless you wisely use other search engines. And they this same mentality that caused them to put out this garbage that was the Gemini chatbot is that same mentality is what they is behind the answer to every search you make. So be very, very careful believing anything just because Google said so. Okay, I want to do the quickest thing about, you know, a Blaze Media reporter. By the way, Blaze happens to be based here in this Dallas area, and a lot of people know them, a great organization. So Blaze Media has a reporter named Steve Baker. And Steve Baker was a media guy who went to Washington on January 6th, and he just went as a reporter, like videoing what was happening on January 6, 2021. He did get inside the Capitol, videoing what was happening. So this is now, you realize now we're past 3 years from January 6, 2021. It's been over 3 years, but he just got arrested. Steve Baker, a journalist at Blaze, got arrested at work, pulled out of work, put handcuffs on him. The guy is a journalist. The guy is an employee of Blaze. They put handcuffs on him. They drag him back for the hearing. They actually, in an unusual and unjustified behavior on their part, forced him to go through the fingerprinting and, taking the picture of him, fingerprinting, before he even went in to be charged. And when they brought him before the judge to be charged, to enter his not guilty plea, they put him in leg irons. That's the kind of thing you do for murderous terrorist. Although if you're the Biden administration, murderous terrorists are welcome to cross the southern border and disappear into America. That's fine with them. But a reporter who committed no crime, who went to Washington to record January 6th, over 3 years later, is dragged out of the workplace in handcuffs, leg irons, go before the judge to appear before the judge. And you know, there's a feistiness about this guy I like. His lawyer's basic statement to the media was, "Game on. You know, we're not going to put up with this." But this guy now has had his life disrupted, has an arrest, had the fingerprints taken, in front of a judge, charged over January 6th. And I'm only going to make this point yet again. What the left is doing, what the Biden administration is doing, is not really Biden, it's the radical left in this country, the Marxist, you know, cabal behind the scenes, run by Obama and Soros and the other, you know, players that they surround themselves with. They are using the power of the, it is your tax dollars, but it's the power of the federal government to send a message to every American, don't you ever dare protest anything we do again. Don't you dare protest an obviously stolen election. Don't you dare come to Washington and protest and embarrass our president. Don't you dare. And the message, and every American should be alarmed by this, because you might be saying, well, I didn't go to Washington January 6th. Guess I'm safe. But no one is safe in a society like this. No one is safe in a society where the norm within our federal government, not just a few radical nutcase leftists in our government, but the norm, the operating standard, operating procedure inside the DOJ and the FBI is to continue to hunt down political enemies of this installed government that we have in Washington and embarrass them, humiliate them, drag them in front of a judge, charge them with things they may face, you know, years and years in prison, as he may and many others do, over nothing. Over nothing. You have to, and more evidence comes out about the presence of FBI officers embedded, dressed up as Trump supporters, showing up there, egging people on to get in the Capitol. And so the FBI is involved. Now it's over 200 FBI officers involved in the January 6th protest, in disguise, acting like Trump supporters and flooding themselves into the Capitol. These are actions that we would have known as a country for the last 200 years were unacceptable if any other country did it. It's our own government doing this to us. This is why I go back to, when I said in the start, America does not want anything the Biden administration is doing. The people who are awake and alert do not want what the Biden administration is doing. They want to push back. They want America back. They want their country back. I will keep you posted in that story, but it is truly astonishing that this guy is facing this. I want to do the quickest story on this murder of a college student in Georgia. The quickest story, her name was Laken Riley. I happen to see her middle name was Hope, which is such a precious name. Laken Hope Riley. She was a 22-year-old nursing student. She was actually a nursing student at Augusta University in Athens, Georgia, but she was jogging on the University of Georgia campus, out for a jog, grabbed, kidnapped, murdered by an illegal alien. And the illegal alien had come to the attention of the authorities previously, committed crime in New York. One of these Biden, come on to America, we don't enforce the border, everybody's welcome, we have no laws here, we're just trying to fill the country with people who are illegal aliens, that Biden. So now we have this young girl, you know, sweet young girl. She's a nursing student out for a jog, kidnapped and murdered allegedly by this guy. And he'd been in trouble in New York City over conduct inappropriate with a minor. I mean, this is an obvious criminal who's only here because our administration in Washington doesn't enforce the border. And, you know, the two points I want to make about that are this. One is, if the roles were reversed. If you had a Trump policy that let people in the southern border and they were committing crimes like this, the media would not let the story go for, 2 years on end. Every day, there'd be new headlines, new storylines, now we talked to her second cousin once removed, and now we understand, you know, who she was dating. They would cover the story to keep it alive in the hearts and minds of American people for years and years. Because her death was directly due to Biden policies and by the failure to enforce our border in this country, it's pretty much going to be gone. The story will go out of the media. The story will just be lost. And this young woman's death, you know, horrible, tragic. I mean, it's almost unspeakably sad to lose a child. Parents never get over these things. And I know parents who've gone through this. I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking to go through. But we have a media that's just complicitly silent. It just says nothing. So there is that. So the other thing is that in Washington, the Republicans, trying to somewhat imitate the way that the left does things, they have come up with a bill. They're calling it the Laken-Riley Act. to basically require the Secretary of Homeland Security to take into custody aliens who have been charged in the U.S. with theft and for other purposes. And so they're just basically saying, could you please, at least, if you won't enforce the border, at least when these people commit some small crime, arrest them and keep them in custody. I mean, the idea we're even having to have a serious conversation in this country about whether or not you should lock up people. I mean, you should be locking people up when they enter America illegally. That is just the norm. That is what we should be expect to happen. The only does it not happen, they can come into the country illegally. We never stop them. They're released all over the country. They commit crimes. We can't even get sanctuary cities to hold these people in custody. And even if they can, ICE will not retain them. Immigration, I forget the acronym for ICE, but anyway, they won't come after him. They won't do anything at all to they let these people go. And so you have this young girl dead, and I just, you know, I'm going to do my small part as a talk show host to say, I'm going to keep this story alive like every other left-wing media outlet would have done if their roles were reversed. But because the media is so complicit, the anti-American left-wing media in this country is so complicit and in bed with and the echo chamber for the radical left in this country. So they know they got the message right away. Can't be talking about her. Drop that story. I mean, the story is dropped almost before it even got out of the gate. And so I'm heartbroken for her parents, and I'm disgusted by our federal administration, by the behavior of the Department of Homeland Security, and by other entities who have some capacity to hold these illegal alien criminals responsible and to retain them, keep them in custody, and they won't do it. All this leads to the breakdown of America. I know I've been talking a lot today about what the left is doing to America. It's really important to understand, and I know I said it a bunch of times and I say it again. It is important to understand that nothing that the left is doing is by mistake. It is an actual takedown of America over a whole wide range of issues, and Americans find themselves reeling because of inflation and gas prices, and then reeling because they can't afford to buy a home they thought they were saving for because interest rates are so high, and they're reeling because their cities are no longer safe and crime is rampant, and they're reeling because you have George Soros-funded district attorneys who won't enforce the law. Unless, of course, you're a white person. Now, okay, then we're going to enforce the law, but not against criminals. You have just the breakdown of society, the breakdown of our cultural norms, the breakdown of the expectation that parents have the primary right to raise their children. The left's attack on America includes this lunatic transgender agenda and the idea of public schools feeding into the minds and hearts of precious young children, the idea that you can choose your gender and your mommy and daddy are wrong if they're trying to say that you really, you know, what your body is really what you are. You can change that. The transgender agenda, along with many other avenues of attack the left is using, the transgender agenda is an attack on families, parents, and ultimately people of faith, especially Christian and Jewish faith. It is an attack on faith and the place in America of faith and the right of families to teach their children what they want to teach them about their God-given image or God-given creation, their God-given identity. This is an attack of the left that is just horribly dividing this country. So it's a understanding at the highest point, highest level possible. We're watching the takedown of our country. And 50 years from now, 100 years from now, someone's going to look back and say, either, yay, people spoke up and stood up and drove this lunatic leftness out of this country, drove the socialists out, drove the communists out, took back America, or they're going to say, as Ronald Reagan used to say, you know, a few of the very, very senior people remember what America was like when it was free. That is the point we're at. That's why these elections matter so much. That's why it matters to get out and vote for your representatives at every level. Learn who the candidates are and get the heck out and vote. Vote out the radical leftism that is attacking and destroying our country. Okay, one more quick story. I called it Nikki's D.C. win. Okay, so Nikki Haley is the only Republican candidate in the primary who is who won't drop out yet. And she's finally won one primary. She won the Washington, D.C. Primary. And I will tell you, first of all, we've talked about many times on this show how the January 6th defendants in this country, the people arrested on January 6th, almost all have their trials right in Washington, D.C., and the population, the voting population in Washington, D.C., is something like whatever it is, 97% Democrat. I mean, it's just, it's overwhelmingly Democrat. So, and none of these judges are doing the right thing by permitting these cases to be moved out of Washington to some other actual neutral place where they have a shot at a jury of their peers. But all these cases go forward in Washington, and they've got these jurors who hate Trump, and they've been trained by the left to hate Trump and to hate Republicans. And so that's who these people have to have a trial in front of. And then, so that's where the jury pool is in Washington, D.C. So the minuscule portion of people in Washington who are registered Republicans is minuscule, tiny. I mean, there's hardly any. And even those who are there proudly call themselves, you know, we're more moderate Republicans. We're not crazy. And we're the moderate Republicans, reasonable Republicans. So in the entire win Nikki Haley got in Washington, D.C., the entire win in her first primary victory, it was just over 2,000 Republicans in total voted. So this is primary election day in Washington. I'm sure the Democrats, you know, they probably showed up to vote for Biden, or some number did, I don't know. But the GOP primary, the Republican primary, a little over 2,000 people showed up to vote. And of those, Nikki Haley got 63%. So she beat Donald Trump for in D.C. for the primary. And the number of voters she got was slightly over 1,200. Okay, 1,200 people in Washington, D.C., who are moderate Republicans, turned out and voted for Nikki Haley. So she's got a win on her record. I mean, a minuscule portion. You know, 1,200 voters is a rounding error in almost every other state. But that is the entire number of votes she got, was a little over 1,200. But yet now she has a she's got a win in her cap. And Trump had one of his typical, I find very funny, he said she was just crowned queen of the swamp. I will say, for the people who like her and follow her, of which there really are, there are apparently some, they had a news conference and people cheering and people saying, yeah, we're going to stick with Nikki Haley. You know, wait through the, you know, primary day. Wait till today, till the massive primary, which is today. You know, it's the it's a really big day today in America. You know, we have, whatever I just said, 15 states. Primaries in American Samoa. So it's a big day. You know, Trump is easily going to win all of them, and it'll just be by a matter of percentage in some places. But I'm getting at the point, Nikki Haley at some point is not, she's not just staying in because she's got great supporters who just love her and she doesn't want to let them down. She's angling for something. I would not be surprised if she ends up on a Democrat ticket. I really wouldn't. I mean, I don't know if Biden can stay in through the fall. I mean, Michelle Obama just announced again yesterday, I will never, never, never run for president. She doesn't want that job. She doesn't like it. So they're stuck with, you know, Joe Biden, who is clearly suffering from dementia, doesn't know what's going on. You have Newsom chomping at the bit, pretending he's not. I could actually see a Newsom-Nikki Haley ticket. I know it sounds crazy, but Nikki Haley knows Republicans can't stand her. She knows it. She can't win anything except Washington, D.C., and she's in it for some reason. I mean, money is one reason. She's getting lots of money from these anti-Trumpers. But beyond that, she's angling for something, and it's not entirely impossible, she thinks, she could end up on the Democrat or some kind of supposed uniparty ticket. She'll bring Republican voters in. The truth is, you know, she's just showing her true colors, which are not Republican red. There's something else. Okay, many more stories, but we are out of time on the show today. I close the show every day by telling you why the stories we talked about today matter to you. So we first talked today about Super Tuesday. America wants the America First agenda. Always remember that. The America First agenda will not end whenever Trump's presidency ends. It will remain. But America wants the America First agenda. Legacy media and ruling class elites are obsessed with making everything about the 2024 election cycle, about the personality of Donald Trump. But they're missing They're utterly missing the point. Americans know their country's being destroyed by a leftist cabal they never elected. March 5th primary results, a Super Tuesday, should show massive Republican turnout from MAGA candidates. If the results don't show that, expect trust and election integrity to erode further. And as SCOTUS preserves elections by we the people, SCOTUS's 9-0 ruling, Supreme Court, that is, 9-0 ruling, a welcome relief, though they skirted the phony insurrection narrative, a major defeat for the left-wing practitioners of lawfare, which is the use of bogus legal claims to control who can run for office in America. Beware, the deep state is increasingly impotent, which makes them increasingly desperate and dangerous. And Gemini should end Google. Google's AI product launch a colossal failure, embedded agenda to eradicate white people and promote left-wing doctrines infects essentially every answer. Gemini's agenda was not a mistake, nor a result of sloppy product development. It's a reflection of the monolithic left-wing thinking that dominates Silicon Valley. Gemini's AI says humanity would be better off suffering a nuclear apocalypse than to have anyone misgender Caitlyn Jenner. That was actually the answer Gemini gave. Think about that. Gemini is garbage, as is the company that produced it. And a Blaze Media Steve Baker should alarm. The arrest of Blaze Media Steve Baker should alarm every American. Baker was at J6, and video that day confirms he was acting as a journalist. But Baker has been critical of many aspects of approved J6 narrative. Biden's FBI DOJ just frog-marched Baker out of Blaze Studios, took him to jail, put him in leg irons as part of the charging process. This is more than 3 years after January 6th, pure police state intimidation tactics to silence political opposition. This is where we are. Government treatment of Steve Baker is unconscionable, un-American. America is under siege in a communist revolution, and the treatment of Baker confirms it. And Lake and Riley murder, Biden and ICE responsible. Georgia college student out for a jog, murdered brutally by an illegal immigrant. Every decent human being knows this is unacceptable and intolerable. Americans know it's a direct result of Biden's open southern border. Big tech, government, big government censorship cabal thinks the Lake and Riley incident can be swept aside. It can't. Americans are fed up, and the March 5th Super Tuesday results will show they are fed up. And Nikki's D.C. win, legacy media loss of credibility, perfectly illustrated by coverage of Haley's win in D.C. D.C. results, legacy media. Haley won 63% of the GOP vote. Breathless, so exciting. Reality, the total GOP vote in the D.C. swamp was a little over 2,000 in total. Haley got fewer than 1,300 votes in a primary that is utterly irrelevant to America at large. Trump will be the GOP nominee for president in 2024. What will be the next effort of the deep state to stop him? And that, my very fine friends, is America Can We Talk for today. Remember to tune in for Thursday's show to hear Professor David Clements. We'll have a great time talking about his film and his activism, speaking up about election integrity. My name is Debbie Georgiadis. The show is America Can We Talk. Our website is AmericaCanWeTalk.org. I do the show. I do my Women for Freedom summits. I do all my public speaking. And I'm running for RNC Committeewoman for the state of Texas to speak up for America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
Can We Talk? Truth about America.
Can you hear?